And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
We're glad you're back with us on the broadcast this week, and we left off last time having finished up in John chapter 3, verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, present tense. We know there are those out there that say that you really can't know if you have everlasting life or if you have salvation until it comes time to die. Well, the scripture here says, he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth, present tense, on him. So having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is the having of everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that believing, the implication is always repentance and faith. Repentance is never without faith. Faith is never without repentance. And as I've said and I've come to understand and said many times that repentance and faith and salvation of the sinner is the beginning of a life of repentance and faith. And so the children of God, those that are saved by the Lord, they start that out by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he alone gives. And they, through life, continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to repent of their sins. We have the new man within. We have this old flesh and this old mind, the old man, if you will, this dichotomy that's taking place within us. And we have need to continue to trust in the Lord, not a progressive salvation. Salvation does come at a moment in time, but is the beginning of a life that's being saved, and therefore there's continued faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to live day by day for him, and a continued repentance. 1 John is very clear about that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Okay, believeth, present tense, shall not see life, but the wrath of God, present tense, abideth on him. Right now, if you are without Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. And then in our world today, there's not much preaching about the wrath of God, but there is just as much as God is a loving God, a caring God, a gracious and a merciful God. He will not let sin pass, and sin will be dealt with either by the covering and the washing away of those sins by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the sinner will stand in judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment, and will give an account, will be judged by their works according to what the books say. And the books are those, the Bible and the book of life there. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. We come to chapter 4. And I really enjoy chapter 4. There's a point here that we'll see quickly in verse number 4 about what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this chapter and this portion of Scripture speaks so much to us in our need and the way the Lord Jesus Christ comes to sinners. And so here in chapter 4, verse number 1, let's read. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, we saw that in chapter 3, that there were those that came to John the Baptist and questioning him about how folks were going to the Lord rather than coming to John. And John says, that's right, it's the way it should be. I'm glad to hear the bridegroom with the bride. My joy is fulfilled in that. I must decrease, he must increase, I must decrease. And so now the Pharisees hear that Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John. Verse number 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, we saw in John chapter 3, verse number 22, the scripture says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem. So there was a time there that the Lord was baptizing through his church. He himself, this scripture in chapter 4, verse 2, tells us Jesus was not doing the baptizing, but rather his disciples were doing the baptizing at his instruction, at his authority. And so we have it clear that the Lord's church is in operation. The Lord's church is in operation here in the day of John, because those that are repenting and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ at the time of his preaching and being baptized by his disciples, that's the manifestation of the Lord's church. It's not the church. The Lord's church is not going to have to wait till Pentecost to be authorized or empowered or given a directive of what to do. While the Lord is there with his disciples, with his church that he has placed his disciples in, simply that's what the church of the Lord is that local body of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that follow him, are interested in his teaching, that have repented, believed, trusted in him, and are baptized. In the case of the Lord's disciples there in the first church, many of them had been baptized by John the Baptist, but those that continue to come are being baptized by the church there and the disciples in the church. At the same time that John the Baptist is still baptizing there near Enon, near to Salem. So there's this time that baptism is being carried out by the one sent to baptize and is also being carried out by the Lord's church there in that day. Another note that we can understand from chapter 3, just as a sideline, is that the Lord's church is present there. We're not going to have to wait till a later time in the scripture to understand the Lord's church being there. But the Lord built his church during the time of his ministry, and we know that that's so by what John said. He says, I'm glad to hear, I'm happy and glad, joyous to hear the bridegroom with the bride. And that bride is an indication of the Lord Jesus Christ's church. So here in chapter 4, the Pharisees are hearing that Jesus is making more disciples. He's baptizing more disciples and making more disciples than John the Baptist is, just because what's happening is the Lord is coming on the scene more. John's ministry is diminishing. And it says there in verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, the authority, the authorization given to his disciples to do that work in the church of baptizing believers that come saying they have repented, they have believed in Christ, and the Lord has saved them. Verse 3 of chapter 4, he left Judea, that is Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So he's leaving that Judea, the region of Judea. He's heading north. And in verse number 4, I just love this, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. It was needful. It was necessary. It was right. He had something in Samaria that he was going to do. And it was necessary that he go to Samaria to do this very thing. You know what? It's just like when the Lord Jesus Christ came to me. There were preachers that preached the gospel and preached the word of God. There were those in my family, those of my friends that witnessed to me, that prayed for me, and had a desire for the salvation of my soul, for the Lord to work in my life. And the Lord, one day there in 1987, as I talked to you in the last broadcast, the Lord came to me. He must needs come by Maplewood, Missouri. That's where I lived at that time. The Lord came to me. You know what? I didn't come to the Lord until he brought his word to me to show me that I needed him. And that's the way it is with all of us. We don't know we've got a problem with sin. We don't know we need a Savior till the blessed word of God comes and tells us the truth about our sin, our wickedness, the condemnation of God for sin upon us, the reality of a judgment that's to come and the need of our souls to be saved. We don't know a thing about that till the Word of God comes to us. And it's by the directive of the Lord. That's His work. That is what He's done. That's the reason He's provided the Bible and the Scripture. And that's the reason that you and I, we need to hear what the Lord says. It's His Word from eternity, where the Lord dwells. It is His Word to us, to tell us the truth about Him, about us, and about our need, and how He's provided the Lord Jesus Christ so that sinners can be saved. He left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he's going through to go to Galilee from Judea. He's going to go through Samaria, and He must needs go through Samaria. We'll see why. Verse 5, then cometh He to the city of Samaria, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Okay, so this is near this inheritance of Joseph, the city called Sychar. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. He's tired. It shows us and reveals to us some of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wearied. And it was about the sixth hour, or about high noon. And so this well is here. They've come to Samaria. They've come to Sychar. If we understand historically, the well's outside of the city, or at the edge of the city. And the Lord sits there on that well at high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. We see here the beginning of the reason that the Lord wanted to go, and it was needful for Him to go to Samaria. There's a soul there that the Lord is interested in. There's a soul there that needs to be told the truth. There's a soul there that the Lord has purposed to save. And that's just the way it is. This woman here in Sychar, she didn't write the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, Jesus, won't you come down here and tell me the truth about me and my need, my sin, and save my soul. She has no idea. She's no doubt troubled about her life. I would say that would be a fair statement. She knows about her life, and she's going to avoid dealing with the truth about her life and about her sin, but the Lord's going to deal with her. And that's the way the Lord does, is He always takes us and He brings us to what we need. He takes us and He directs it. Though we might be distracted about this and want to talk about that and want to talk about the other, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, He takes us and He brings us to where we need to be. He directs us to our need. There was a woman of Samaria, to verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For His disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. They went down there around noontime to get something to eat. And the Lord was there at the well. This woman, and if we understand from the way that it was because of her way of life, she came at a time where there would be very few, if any, at the well. We understand that those that would come to the well to get water for themselves or get water for the animals would maybe come in the morning or maybe come in the cool in the evening, but not in the middle of the day, not at high noon. She came there because she wanted to avoid running into anybody, it seems like. But the Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. He had a purpose and a reason. He says unto her, give me to drink. Well, I see that our time is past, and may the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.